Hey, if you're wondering about insulating your firebox on your offset or reverse flow smoker, watch this video. By the way, my name is Frank Cox, and I'm from Smoker Builder. For those that don't know anything about me, I'm known as the barbecue pit engineer because for the last, I don't know, more than a decade, like 14 years, I've been designing and building smokers for people all over the world. Some of those people are DIY guys. Some of those guys are backyard guys. And I've helped out quite a few professional smoker builders with their designs. So, but anyway, my current thoughts on insulating an offset smoker kind of revolve around, the style of cooking you're trying to do. So most of the barbecue that I cook is going to be more of a Texas style barbecue, like backyard, but just a little bit better. We're not really doing any competition barbecue here. Competition barbecue kind of changes all the rules because you're dealing with a very small brisket, like maybe, 2 pounds instead of like, a 14 pound brisket. And you're usually cutting 100% of the fat off. So that's a different cooking scenario. Plus you're only trying to serve like 6 bites to 6 judges. So whenever we're talking about real barbecue, like what we cook, you and I do, we're talking about a much bigger chunk of meat. And we're also talking about, we want to get the flavor and the tallow and all the render. And if you're cooking ribs and stuff like that, you're still wanting to get all that fat to, be on the surface of your ribs. Because honestly, that's where all the flavor's at. And we don't want to miss out on any of that. So what we're looking into there is a different style of cooking. You're also going to be using minimal seasonings. You're not going to be like pouring on layers and layers of rub. So in that scenario, one of the most important flavors that we're looking to take advantage of is the smoke. And so in order to get that smoke flavor, we have to actually have smoke. So we're talking, you'll hear me say a word, dirtier fire. And whenever I'm talking about airflow and smoker design and stuff like that. So when we're talking about a dirtier fire, we don't mean like a white smoke, sooty, gross fire. We're talking about like blue smoke, which is like complete combustion to the point of still having flavor. So the thin blue smoke like that, you'll see it coming out of your smokestack and it will have a blue color to it. That's where all of that real flavor is. But the smoke itself isn't just important for flavor. There's this smoke ring that everybody talks about. So smoke actually contributes to that flavor and to that chemical reaction that causes a smoke ring. So you'll get a lot of appearance and texture from that smoke ring also, and from the smoke that's hitting the brisket. So anyway, my personal opinion and how that affects insulating my firebox is that if I insulate my firebox, I'm going to have too much efficiency in that smoker, especially with the fire that I'm burning. So what'll typically happen is you wind up building a much smaller fire. And that smaller fire is simply because we don't want to cook hotter than what we already are. People talk about like efficiency. Anytime you say that word, efficiency, when it comes to a smoker, remember what they're talking about is a smaller fire and retaining heat from that smaller fire. Typically, a reason that someone would want to do this is only two reasons. Reason number one is because they're trying to burn less wood. Reason number two is because they want the fire they built to last longer in between times of having to load the smoker up. Reason number three would be to prevent kids from getting burned when they come up to the firebox. So all three of those things matter in certain scenarios, but anytime you try to conserve those things or protect those things with insulating your firebox, you wind up actually losing flavor. You have to compromise. You can't have both. So if you have a really tasty, really good amount of airflow that has really great flavor in it, you have to have a bigger fire and be able to have an open flame on that wood. In smokers that are too efficient, you can't really maintain an open flame without overshooting temp. That's the catch, because as the wood burns, it winds up turning into charcoal. Charcoal has much higher BTU content than wood does. So the same thing goes with efficiency whenever you're working on trying to build a smaller fire. Like you don't want to have to go fuel it more often, right? So adding more wood to this fire is a problem, because you're working in a restaurant, let's say, or you're catering, you're trying to get some sleep. You just don't have the time to deal with it, right? So therefore, I would actually pivot my cooking style if that was the scenario. There's these new things you can do, like a holding cabinet, for instance. One trick that a lot of restaurants use, and this applies to catering also, or just cooking at home, I've got one. You can actually look around on like Marketplace and stuff like this and grab these things called food warmers. Avantco makes one that's pretty darn cheap. It's a really good unit, plugs into 120 volts, has a fan and a heat element in it. And what a lot of restaurants do nowadays is they'll take and cook during the day. Like, let's just say that they're going to do a 12-hour cook. So they'll cook from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and then they'll take that thing and hold it in that warmer, and you can do like an 18-hour hold. The secret in phenomenal barbecue, especially with big muscle meats like briskets, is that hold time. That hold time magic happens in there. We're going to be able to revitalize the bark. We're not going to soften it or lose it. We're just going to bring that moisture back in. There's also some stuff that happens with like the fibers in the meat and how they hold that moisture that's inside the meat that was getting pushed around when fat was rendering. So there's some awesome stuff that happens in that scenario that you definitely want to take advantage of with a really long hold. 18 hours is probably the longest I would go, but that's like if you're serving all day or whatever. So you would maybe pivot your cook times to 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Then you open back up the next day 12 hours later, and bingo, you're in there. So anyway, those are a few of my thoughts about insulated fireboxes these days. I really honestly would not insulate a firebox on a personal pit of my own. Matter of fact, we just built a 1,000-gallon, and we used half of a 500-gallon for the firebox. It's one of the best pits I've ever cooked on. Matter of fact, it's sitting down here in my side yard. We sold it to my buddy Jeff down at Apocalypse Barbecue for a new place that he's opening up in another state. So anyway, if you want to build your own smoker and you got questions about things, or you need some help or plans or parts, anything like that, give us a follow here at smokerbuilder.com. You'll get tons and tons of information. You can also go over to smokerplans.net and cruise through that site and look at all the products we have available. One more resource we have that you'll find available is smokerbuilderu.com. That's smokerbuilder, the letter U.com. And on that website is our community, private community, and some online courses. These guys are ate up with it just like I am, and they're full of information. So you can go on there, get ideas for free, talk to the community, post about your own stuff, ask questions. But not only that, you can take advantage of a few online courses like my free fire management course. And also we have a new course that's up called Barbecue Pit Engineering with Frank, where I talk about this kind of stuff. So anyway, sorry for the shaky camera. My arm feels like it's about to fall off, and I had to go for a walk. So till next time, keep your smoke thin and blue, and we'll see you on the flip side.